From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Public health officials across the country have been closely monitoring an avian influenza outbreak capable of spreading to other species, including humans. The highly pathogenic avian influenza, also known as H5N1, has been affecting wild birds for a couple years now. But this year, the bird flu virus has made the jump to dairy cattle, as well as select cases in humans who work in the industry. This was all taking place out of state until this past summer. In August, the first cattle in California were reported to have contracted this avian influenza strain. And last week, public health officials in Tulare County believe at least two people who had direct contact with cattle became infected. Carrie Klein is a reporter at KVPR, that's Valley Public Radio located in Fresno, and joins us with more. Good afternoon, Carrie.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
So when did you first begin reporting on cases of bird flu in the Central Valley?
Well, we began earlier this year, actually, when it was just in birds, when it was isolated in birds. And I mean, and even at that time, it was quite an outbreak, even among birds. As you said, it's affected flocks all over the country. 100 million birds across the country have been either died of the virus or have been euthanized. Lots of those were here in the San Joaquin Valley and in California too. But of course, as you said, the impacts have really ramped up in the last 6 weeks or so.
Yeah, I mean, the strain is H5N1. What can you tell us about H5N1, this strain of avian influenza?
Yeah, well, so H5N1 is one way of abbreviating it. It's also known as HPAI, which stands for highly pathogenic avian influenza. You can have low pathogenic or highly pathogenic strains of flu, and that just refers mostly to the severity of symptoms and how infectious it is. So the highly pathogenic one is the concerning one because that's most infectious, and that appears to be the strain or set of strains that have jumped into cattle, other mammals as well, interestingly, but not nearly as much as cattle, and also humans.
I remember when we had a conversation about this with a public health official back in May, it had spread to elephant seals, I believe, in Argentina at that time.
Yes, and around the country. Yeah, certainly marine mammals, also seals and dolphins, but the skunks, mountain lions, squirrels, I don't think it's like an outbreak in any of those species, but certainly there are sporadic cases here and there.
What's significant about the virus now spreading to humans in California? There were a few cases out of state, but this is the first time it's been confirmed here in the state.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, one of the top line concerns that public health officials talk about is something called viral reassortment. That's if somebody, a human, a person were to contract the virus while they have another flu virus in their body. And so then those two flu strains can exist at the same time and they can exchange genetic material that could then potentially lead to the virus becoming more transmissible or more severe, or maybe not. It could, you know, it kind of change things in all sorts of different ways. But the point is that it could become a little bit more unpredictable. And so that's one of the main concerns. And, you know, for right now, there has not been any evidence of human to human transmission. We've only caught it from cattle so far, or, you know, close contact with cattle. But of course, there's a concern that if it does become transmissible among humans, it's, of course, then a much more infectious disease.
Yeah, I can understand that concern, given that we're getting into colder months. Obviously, there's still COVID, and then we're getting into the peak of flu season as well in the coming months. What can you tell us about the confirmed cases in people in the Central Valley?
Right. Well, you know, actually, you mentioned there were two cases just this morning. The Department of Public Health confirmed a third. So now there are three confirmed cases in California, dairy workers, and then there are two more that are under investigation as well. But what we know for now, you know, the public health officials are not sharing all that much information about them. We know that there are people who are in close contact with dairy cattle. And we know their symptoms have been relatively mild. You know, one of the symptoms that's mentioned, I think it's been mentioned with every case, is conjunctivitis, which is interesting because that's not actually a typical flu symptom. But otherwise, they're relatively mild and the people are kind of isolating at home, you know, taking Tylenol, things like that. I think there's nothing too concerning so far. But health officials are forewarning that they expect there to be more to come. You know, and again, not necessarily transmitted human to human, but likely more from the dairy industry.
Does the Department of Public Health, whether in Tulare County or the State Department of Public Health, think that it's a possibility that eventually it could be transmissible between human to human?
I haven't really heard anyone speculating on that. I think they don't know well enough to really say if it will or won't, but certainly there are lots of precautions that are being recommended and being enacted by people in the dairy industry to really ensure that that human-to-human transmission doesn't happen.
Okay, so it's good to hear that when it comes to the two or now three human confirmed cases, the symptoms seem to be mild, they're isolating at home, but there are cattle and there's a dairy industry, of course. How does this virus affect cattle?
Yeah, well, so among cattle, it's interesting. It doesn't appear to be terribly fatal. I think the mortality rate is still not quite fully understood yet. You know, among birds, the reason that it affected so many birds is not that the virus itself killed 100 million birds, but that once one bird in a flock tests positive, the entire flock has to be euthanized to prevent the spread. So it's terribly fatal among birds in that way. The effects are terrible. In cattle, of course, you're not just going to euthanize 10,000 head at a dairy. And so I think the symptoms there are like, I think most cattle do recover. The symptoms there in cattle also are, I think, pretty similar to other flus in cattle. So they will eat less, they'll drink less, they become dehydrated, their milk production is diminished, they become lethargic, things like that. And so dairy farmers, they keep an eye out for symptoms like that, which could be symptoms of many different conditions, not necessarily this particular one. And there are always sort of, you know, medical pens, hospital pens, they are often called on dairies where there are cattle being quarantined, and they're usually given fluid, they're given aspirin, and you know, additional like kind of feeding tubes actually they're often given and things like that. They're treated in that way, and they can usually make a recovery that way. But interestingly though, even those cattle that do fully recover from H5N1, many of them still don't produce as milk as much as they used to. So that's an interesting and you know, potentially unfortunate side effect for dairy farmers.
Yeah, in California, our agricultural industry is huge. How big of a footprint is the dairy industry within that umbrella of agriculture?
It's huge. I mean, and the short answer is it's huge. So each year in California, we produce $50 to $60 billion worth, billion with a B, dollars worth of agriculture. Last year, it was about $60 billion, and dairy products are the number one product, top grossing. So dairy was about 8 billion of that 60 billion total, and Tulare County is ground zero for that. There are, of course, dairies all over the state, but Tulare County is the leading dairy producer in the entire country.
So aside from a public health impact, there could be an economic impact as well. How many dairies have reported infections so far?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there are upwards of 300 dairy farms in Tulare County. Right now, about 82 of them have, oh, I'm sorry, it's 82 dairies statewide have reported H5N1 cases so far. That is not broken down by county. And so county officials there have said it's a dozen or two. They have been not specific about how many, but it's 82 dairies across the state.
And I would imagine that that number may likely rise since we've just had the first
Yes.
confirmed cases of cattle, at least in August. That's not that long ago.
It's not long ago at all. No, certainly not. And just last week, it was 56 dairies was the latest number as at the end of last week. So, yeah, it's increasing a lot. There's a lot more testing going on. And also, when it comes to the economic impacts, I mean, there are state labor data show that across the state, there are 17,000 people directly employed by dairies. So, yes, there could be ripple effects, you know, far beyond the cattle, you know, and things like that.
Yeah. Throughout your reporting, you spoke with a number of people who are directly impacted by this avian influenza impacting the dairy industry here in California. One of them was Anya Radaba. They are the CEO of the trade association Western United Dairies. And I'm going to play a little bit of what they told you about the effects on the dairy industry statewide.
No, this is definitely one of the biggest challenges we've ever faced in California as far as the dairy industry goes. The amount of stress that it's putting on our farms is significant.
So that is a trade association. What are farmers also saying about the spread of avian influenza? Was this expected? Were they surprised?
I think they were surprised. They were not totally expecting this. I mean, I think you never fully expect I mean, especially this was a virus in birds. I think they were not expecting this to happen. And especially because for many months earlier this year, there had been more restrictions put on place in terms of safety measures on farms. And also there, you know, interstate travel of cattle had been restricted by quite a bit, not fully restricted, but there were more kind of policies surrounding that. And so I think, you know, I think health officials and farm ag officials were really hoping this wouldn't happen. But, you know, I think the experience is varied by dairy farmer, depending on whether they've had a positive case or not. You know, once you have a positive case, you go into a whole new state of surveillance and testing and, you know, protocols on your farm. And if you have not had a positive case yet, you're still in kind of the wait and see mode. And I think farmers there are trying not to panic, and they're taking on precautions, but are not, not panicking. I think that Anya there with the Western United Dairies, you know, she's speaking to the industry as a whole that this is, I mean, I think they all say that this is hugely challenging for sure, but it's affecting some more than others.
Yeah. And I would think outside of avian influenza, it also has been a challenging time for the dairy industry in recent years. I think about, you know, the prevalence and the popularity of nut milks, for example.
Yeah, that's right. That certainly has changed consumption of cow's milk. Absolutely. Dairy milk is still hanging on, though, you know, despite those kinds of market impacts. But also, I mean, COVID was huge. I mean, just like with any business, it greatly impacted the workforce and the ability of people to be working on site throughout the pandemic. Also, there were tremendous trade disruptions during COVID at the ports to be able to export. Not that milk is exported around the world as much as some other products are, but there were a lot of things. And then the last year, there was extreme weather here in the San Joaquin Valley. It also affected a handful of dairies, and cows had to be evacuated from some of them. So there have been a lot of things going on. And what Anya was saying there is, she was saying this still, it really stands out as tremendously one of the biggest, it's a bigger challenge than even a lot of those were, she thinks, for the industry.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with editor and reporter Carrie Klein from Valley Public Radio, based in Fresno, about the emergence of the avian influenza in the Central Valley, which has been infecting dairy cattle and has now jumped to humans. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, we had a conversation about avian influenza on Insight back in May, and we spoke with a health official in Solano County, because both Solano and Yolo counties, they were cautioning residents to avoid consuming raw milk and raw dairy products due to detection of H5N1. What are health officials saying now about the safety of dairy products, including if they come from a possibly infected animal?
You know, health officials are saying that as long as the dairy product has been pasteurized, it should be totally fine. The pasteurization process brings the milk up to a high temperature that should kill all pathogens, even if they come from a cow that has undetected avian influenza. Raw milk is still more risky. That has not been pasteurized. You know, it depends on the state of the cows there, and if you trust the farm where that comes from. Raw milk products are still being sold, but yeah, they're considered less safe. And if you happen to have poultry or eggs that came from a bird that was infected, and maybe you didn't know that, those should also be fine as long as they're cooked properly.
Of course, as you mentioned, precautions are taking place among farmers and ranchers as well. You spoke with one farmer, Joey Eroso, a dairy farmer in Tulare County, about the precautions that he's taking. We're going to listen to a little bit of what he told you.
We have limited the people that are, you know, like salespeople that come on and off the dairy. And the vets have adopted some protocols where they're changing their clothes before they go from site to site, and they're spraying tires and things like that.
Okay, so there's been some precautions and changes for non-essential staff, for example, or vets who come in direct contact with cattle. What other precautions did you learn that dairies are taking to protect their animals and also their workers?
Well, there's a lot more PPE for workers, particularly the milkers and the ones who are right there next to the cattle. So they were probably already wearing gloves. At that point, there were certain precautions already in place, but now they're being encouraged to wear masks, face shields, also disposable booties to keep from carrying any contaminated soil or droppings that might contain the virus. And as Joey said, there's less vehicle traffic on dairies. So spraying down tires, not just vets, but just any vehicles that come on. But also things like, you know, if there's a food delivery, like cattle feed delivery or supplies, things like that. Often those deliveries are actually happening on the outside periphery of the dairy now. They're not coming quite as far in, so that there's just less of a chance of any contact between those vehicles or, you know, of people moving between those vehicles and other parts of the farm as well.
As you mentioned, the dairy industry within the big ag industry in California is a huge financial anchor, and there is the potential to have an economic impact due to H5N1 avian influenza now impacting cattle in the state. You spoke with Tricia Stephen Blattler, and they're with the Tulare County Farm Bureau, and they touched upon the financial effects trickling down potentially to other businesses.
I've had contact with a cattle hauler. So that is a business that makes their living off of moving cattle from, say, you know, a dairy operation to a calf ranch. He's currently seeing 2/3 less income for his employees, the drivers, and yet he still has all that overhead and payroll that he's trying to meet.
So that's just one example, a cattle hauler. There's a whole ecosystem, a financial one, surrounding the dairy industry. Did you get a better idea about the potential economic impact for individual farmers and also more broadly for the state's dairy industry?
I think a lot of that still remains to be seen, you know, especially because we're only in the very, very early days of human cases. I mean, hopefully they don't become much worse than they are, you know, or much more widespread among humans than they are now. But certainly there will be more cattle cases. You know, I think that there are a lot of costs right now logistically of the PPE measures and protective measures on the farms. And like I had said before, many cows do die. But then even those that recover may produce less milk. And so, you know, dairy farmers may still have the same number of head of cattle, but less milk being produced by them. So, you know, I think that the effects still remain to be seen once it really becomes clear just how widespread an issue this will become.
Yeah,
in the industry.
This is still very much a developing situation. You had the first cattle cases in California back in August. Last week, the first confirmed human cases, which means more work for you as a reporter. Finally, what more will you be following?
Yeah, well, certainly we're going to be following developments in humans, the impact to workers, the financial impact of the dairy industry and related industries. Also interested in maybe seeing if there's more to how the virus got to California, you know, as they learn more about how it's transmitted.
Carrie, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate the time. Carrie Klein is an associate editor and reporter for Valley Public Radio based in Fresno. And we've been talking about the emergence of avian influenza in the Central Valley, which has been infecting dairy cattle and has now jumped to humans who work directly with cattle. Up next, a Roseville women's soccer team wrapped up its inaugural season with an undefeated record and is making a major expansion next year. We'll talk more about the new developments on the horizon at Iron Rose FC. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio, where facts matter and stories inspire. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.